Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. This is episode 10. My name is Alex VR, and to my side, kind of, is my co-host, Skiva, a.k.a. Harry. Hello, my good sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. And we do know that Alex's voice is a little out of sync and just didn't have time to fix it. So
yeah, so deal with it.
Close your eyes and pretend. Yeah, but no, it's everything's going good. You know, for what it is, you know, the world's in a weird place right now, but I'm trying to focus on the things that I love, like VR. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm focusing on things I love, like food. It's like just stuffing it in. I did this like super intense like grocery store trip to like, you know, quarantine in, and it's just been eating, man, eating good. And I tried to like play some intense Beat Saber this morning to try to like reverse the effects, kill my arms for a while.
Nice. Yeah, I saw that stream. It was pretty good.
Today, episode 10, crazy that we've already done 10 of these. That's 10 consecutive weeks, which is weird. Actually, no, it's more like 9 consecutive weeks, but it's still pretty awesome. And our guest today is an artist in the VR space, and she is also the creator of the Dreamseed VR magazine. She's a performer and an overall awesome person. Please welcome
a psychedelic what's her title there? A psychedelic philosopher, which I thought was really cool.
That is cool. Welcome, Sarah Finn, to Between Realities.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Hello. Hello, lady. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. We've been Facebook friends for a while. Not sure exactly how it happened, but the VR community is definitely like very connected on Facebook and Twitter and all of that. And I couldn't help but want to have you join us for an episode once I started to kind of follow some of your posts on Facebook, and I saw some of the stuff that you were into, because I'm into a lot of that same stuff, and a lot of that stuff not everyone has the balls to get out there and talk about. So thank you for doing us that service.
Oh yeah, thank you. It's a mutual service. Not many people want to host conversations about those kinds of things, so it's good to be with some like-minded people who aren't afraid to tackle that stuff. Yeah.
Well, and really, I mean, other than it just being super fun to talk about, you know, there's like a lot of stigmas and a lot of like negative misconceptions that exist in the space in a lot of these worlds. And, you know, anything that we can do to kind of like make it a little bit more relaxed, you know, like Joe Rogan is like my hero, because that dude will talk about anything. Like, he's not afraid to talk about any of it. So like, I totally idolize him when it comes to our perspective with a lot of this stuff on the podcast. Are you a Joe Rogan fan as well? You must be.
I am, yeah. I think that he's really good at curating talented minds, not just in academic fields, which is super cool, but entertainers and, you know, scientists, all different kinds of people. And he brings out stuff that you normally wouldn't see in interviews with minds like that. So yeah, he's a great role model in the podcast world. I look to him and a couple other people when I think about the vibe I want to curate.
And just a hell of an interviewer. Like, that guy refuses to take bullshit answers from anybody. Like, the second that they start giving some kind of bullshit answer, he's like, no, hold on, come back, because now you're getting away.
Yeah, man, he's very cool. I definitely look up to the dude. He's got all of this down to a T, that's for sure.
And man, he ties back in. We'll get him. We're going to tie Joe Rogan back into the conversation a little while after we get through some of these topics that Skeev has got lined up for us.
Yeah. So we got just a little bit of news to cover here. Thought we'd take a look into some cool things that are happening. For example, No Man's Sky is back in the VR news, allowing us to kind of explore endless universes and solar systems, and it's really, really good stuff. They are back in the news because they have a new update that came out that introduces mechs. And who doesn't want to drive some mechs around, right? I mean, so that's
really cool. It does look badass.
Yeah. I haven't gotten into it yet, but hopefully we'll be able to soon.
I mean, it's on sale right now, which is $30, which is like still expensive for me. And like, I want to do it, but I just don't know if I can shell out $30, especially in the state that we're in right now.
True, true. But yeah, but $30, you know,
it's a lot of game.
$30 is $30, but it's a lot of game, right? So I have like 145 hours in this game right now.
Holy shit.
And yeah, and there's still a lot more to do. So.
have you been in No Man's Sky, Sarah?
I haven't, but being able to pilot around mechs sounds like some pretty deep wish fulfillment, you know, gameplay kind of stuff. Very Neon Genesis Evangelion kind of vibes.
Yeah, the main thing there is just the infinite universe. Like, you can just go into solar system after solar system after solar system after solar system, and it's just like procedurally generating planets and creatures and life and like you know, like fauna and shit. Like, it's a pretty cool experience, one that I wish I could afford to get into right now. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's well dope. there's a lot of other experiences coming as well. For example, if you have a PSVR, you're probably looking for some things to do as well.
Sure,
yeah. And Form has come to the PSVR, and this is a great puzzle game that I really, really enjoyed. It's not very long is the bummer, but it's super fun and really crazy, kind of almost psychedelic, you know. It's pretty neat.
Really Delirium Drew in the chat. What's up, brother? He's a big PSVR owner. Have you played Form yet, Drew? It looks visually next level. At least as far as a lot of the titles that come out for PSVR are concerned, it looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool, man. It's very strange, but you know, a lot of VR experiences are. But I think it's worth the money. I really do. I really dig it. You know, another thing that's coming out here really soon is this game called Supernatural. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I feel like everybody's talking about this right now.
Yeah, man, I've
heard of it, but I don't know anything about it. So I'm excited. Like, what's a little, you know, like teaser or synopsis like for that?
So this is actually interesting because I know somebody who works over at the company who's put this out, Job Stouffer, and he was do you know Job?
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked side by side with him at VRLA in 2018, and got to know him real good, and we just like walked the streets of LA and had a good time. So I've just kind of been watching him since VRLA in 2018, and you know, he's a huge advocate for like VR health and fitness. He lost like 150 pounds or something like that using VR, so it's like a pretty big deal. And so I've been like pretty excited to see this thing come out. But the thing that people are talking about, and by the way, it's kind of like a Beat Saber game, but it like tracks all of your biometric data that it can, and has like shifting, changing backgrounds that are like vivid in detail, and like chart topping music and stuff like that. But that none of that stuff is what the people are talking about. People are talking about the price of admission for this motherfucker. And I mean, you can't blame them because this is a game. This is maybe one of the first VR games that I've ever seen that is subscription based.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're going to charge you $20 a month to reskin Beat Saber and track your stats, which is, man, I wouldn't pay, you know, I'm not really the right guy to talk about this, right? Because I'm not like super fit here at all, but I wouldn't pay $20 for a gym membership, you know what I mean? So $20 a month. So
but you're a VR guy, so like maybe they're trying to get all the people who wouldn't pay for a gym membership but would buy a VR game, you know? Maybe that's like how they're trying, like that's the angle, you know?
There's definitely a psychology to it, and they're probably going after a very specific demographic with the way the game is tailored. As it might just be like reskin Beat Saber, but the feature that people who will pay a subscription will really enjoy is being able to see their caloric burn in real time with the game, and just those overlay things that make it really personalized and immersive. So.
What's up, Paint Bros Colorado? Thanks for joining us, man. Yeah, you know, and the other thing too is that I guess it is supposed to like dynamically change the experience based on some of your biometric data. Like very maybe cool. Like your heart rate goes up, they like kick it up a notch or bring it back or something like that. Mm-hmm. The only time I've ever paid for a subscription for a game was when it was a social one, like EverQuest. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft, you know, like sure. Those worlds that like require servers to like host people to like be consistent and like people stay there. I found a reason to justify that as like a teenager, you know, so yeah. I guess it's possible, but
how
I
much mean, was that? Just out of curiosity, do you remember?
$15 a month. And this is like years and years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there was nothing cooler. But that's the thing, is there was nothing cooler. MMORPGs right. at the time were like the most fucking amazing shit ever. Like I'm in there with everyone. Like we're killing creatures together. Like I was willing to pay for that experience, you know? So if they're doing something that's like maybe really social in nature, like helps me connect with people or something, that might be a reason that I might be willing to start shelling out money on a monthly basis. But yeah. The VR world is not full of experiences like this. It's pretty, I guess somebody had to be the first, you know?
This is true. It's just, you know, if this was $5 a month, you know, I get it. And the other thing is this $20 a month is an introductory price, right? Which means it's going to go up. So I don't know, man. We got like a really tiny, player base in VR right now, you know, and they're gonna suck that down to the people that want, that are gonna pay $20 a month for mm-hmm. for a workout experience. And you know, VR is an amazing place to get some exercise for sure. Yeah. For example, I really, really like the cyber shoes, right? Because of that. Not that they are solving locomotion, mm-hmm. right? They're not. And Alex, I'm going to throw on some footage from your video here.
Nice.
But, not that they're solving locomotion, because it's not like I'm actually walking. You know, there's definitely some disconnect there, because you're sitting in a chair and, you know, you're sitting in a tall chair and you're kind of scooting your feet. To walk, and you know, if you try real hard, it is very immersive. It really is. It's, you know, like I said, I don't think it has solved locomotion, but I think for fitness especially, there's no better way to burn calories than to walk around in some of your favorite games. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, and that's just the thing that I like about them, is that it's games that you already like to play, and it's just another way to play them. You know, so it's not like this replaces the way that you move in the game forever. It's like, you know mm-hmm. what? Today, when I play Saints and Sinners, I'm going to use the cyber shoes. You know, to have it as an option, I think is awesome. And it's for that reason, like you said, you know, like I'm stuck in quarantine, stuff in my face of fucking mm-hmm. treats and shit all the time. Like I could use that as an excuse to burn some more calories, you know?
For sure, man. You know, I went into this on my channel. I did like four different cyber shoes videos, just showing, some gameplay with them. And one of them was like Half-Life Alyx. And that was super fun to like shoot at, you know, to battle some combine and actually feel like I'm having these intense battles with these guys peeking around corners and like,
dude, I know, noticed getting up you were and like running back and like digging your heels in to like back up, you know, like that.
Yeah,
definitely.
It was super fun, man. Yeah. And then The Walking Dead, you know, you're walking around trying not to get eaten by zombies, and you're burning calories through this whole thing, which is the big thing, right? Because for me, you know, I spend a lot of time sitting on the couch and not really burning any calories except mm-hmm. for the thumbs, you know, and the but so, now, yeah.
Sarah, do you ever get exercise in VR?
I am a big Beat Saber fan.
Nice.
And I also like Pistol Whip. Those are the two primary games that I like playing in VR. I tend to sit down when I paint in Tilt Brush. I know a lot of people will stand when they do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just a big Beat Saber fan. I do a lot of flow arts, I'd say, and seem really natural. And then Pistol Whip is fun because it's just really trippy looking. I normally don't like shooter games, mm-hmm. but because it's got a great soundtrack and I like how abstract all the color design is in it. So
I think we have a little bit of an unstable Skype connection.
Those are the two things that I feel like I'll break a sweat in VR.
Mm-hmm. Do you use the Quest or do you play on a different headset?
I play on the Quest, but I also play on my Rift from my desktop.
Nice.
My office computer. Yeah. I like if I'm upstairs in the late evening hanging out, you know, maybe before bed and I want to just throw my Quest on and like get one little Beat Saber round, slice up some cubes or something and pass out. I've done that. The Quest hangs out by the bed. It's pretty funny. It's like the micro VR office. You just take it right anywhere.
I need to start using my Quest more, man. Like, I really do. It's just chilling right now. I want to start using it more.
It's a little heavy. That's the only reason why I like using my Rift more often. But I do love that it's, you know, all-encompassing, so I don't have to have any other setup with it. It's lovely.
Right.
Yeah, do you have a Rift or a Rift S?
I believe it's just a Rift.
Nice. So you have the sensors that you have to put out.
Yeah.
So yep. That headset to me has the absolute best controllers on the planet. Better than the Knuckles, better than any of the controllers. In my opinion, man, those things are just amazing.
Yeah, I love the controllers and it's so light, which makes it easier to spend more time in their painting.
Comfort's a big deal.
Yeah. It is a big deal. Really? It really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I took my Quest and I put some add-ons on there. You know, a lot of people are kind of building up their Quest, right? But I put the VR cover front cover on there and then the VR cover back cover. And it's allowed me to really be able to stay in there for, you know, 8 hours a day working and having it be like a virtual office, you know, hop in a virtual desktop. I have this giant screen that, you know, I can manipulate things and it's great, man. And it makes it a lot more comfortable. The Quest is just fantastic. And speaking of headsets, right, there's a new headset coming out from Star VR. Have you guys heard of this at all?
Yes.
Yeah, so Star VR, you know, they were in some, they had some issues back in the day, you know, maybe just a year and a half ago, right? There was a big bust, you know, with their, in their company. I believe there was like some money laundering or something. Don't quote me on that. There was some weird stuff going on and Acer had bought them previously, and there was just this whole deal. So I am glad though that these guys are back, because this headset that they've made looks absolutely mind-boggling. It looks so good, so good. A full 210 degree field of view, right? Like human field of view, ultra high resolution screen. It's just going to be the best of the best, but it's also going to be like $3,200.
So we're going to have to go to a convention to try it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then, you know, if it looks as good as it may be, then hell, maybe I'll do some saving, because ooh, man, this thing just looks unreal. It was a time originally when this thing was supposed to come out that I started saving for this. And I was going to get this. I had full plans on buying it for $3,000 or whatever.
Jesus.
And then, you know, all that stuff happened, and I thought they were done. You know, I thought that was the end of it. But I guess Acer must have taken their stuff and really figured out a way to get the product out anyway, which is great. But, you know, I ended up spending $1,000 on the Index, you know, the Valve Index, and that was it.
Well, I would say that was a good investment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really, really love it. I really do. It's a great, great headset.
So I don't have any footage of this, but real quick before we get into the next thing, I wanted to mention this game that I played recently. Actually, we both played it. It came out yesterday, I think, or the day before, and it's called Hoop Lord. And this is a indie developer, this one guy who like had a project that he saw a lot of potential there. So he decided to kind of like take it the full way and turn it into a full game. And Hoop Lord is this basketball game, which is like half basketball shooting, like horse, and the other half like fantasy boss fight. So like you're like avoiding attacks from this huge golem and like getting around him while he's trying to get in the way of your basketball shots. And it was super fun. Like it's a super short experience, but like the guy, you know, just managed to finally finish it. And as soon as he finishes it, he's like, oh, wait, how am I supposed to even get my game out there in the world right now? You know, so he gave me a few codes for it, and Skiva and I both played it, and we both really had a good time. It lasted like, I don't know, maybe 35 minutes or something like that. But I have a few codes, and I'm going to drop some in the chat now and as we continue to talk about the rest of the program.
It sounds a little, you know, if I heard that description, I'd be like, yeah, I pass. But I'll tell you what, man, I had a really, really good time with this game. And the only reason I stopped halfway through the third boss battle because I felt like my arms were going to fall off shooting all those virtual hoops, you know. It was super, super fun. And anyone that, you know, sees this code in the chat, I'd grab it and give it a try.
And the basketball physics are there. Like I actually felt like I had to jump, like an actual jump shot to pull it off, you know, like I couldn't fake it.
Sure.
Like you can't fake it, you know. And that's one of the things that's awesome about a good VR game is that the motions just aren't fakeable. Like you have to commit to it. You have to aim, you have to get after it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And it looks like Sarah went all huge here on us in the background. Let me try to fix her real quick.
She keeps Skype's, going back and forth.
Yeah. Skype's been giving me lots of issues. And we're trying to get away from Skype. Hopefully by next week, we will no longer need Skype, I hope.
We tried to do Zoom today, and it didn't really work out.
Yeah, we'll get it figured out, though. But, you know, speaking of games and getting codes, so... back a while ago, I played this game on, I had played it on Viveport, but it's now on Steam as well. And it's called Ayahuasca, The Cosmic Journey, right? And it is really, really cool. I wouldn't say that this is probably anything like Ayahuasca. I mean, but you know, you'll kind of get a way safer, experience here than maybe trying to down some ayahuasca in your basement, right? But this game was absolutely beautiful, and the sound design in this game is just phenomenal. It's really, really, really good stuff.
So this is where Joe Rogan comes back into the conversation, because Joe Rogan talks about ayahuasca on his podcast, and then a bunch of people YouTubed it and found a video of Skiva playing that game on YouTube, and that is like by far his most popular YouTube video because Joe Rogan talked about ayahuasca on his podcast.
Yeah, it's got almost 20,000 views, right?
Flooded in. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, very, very crazy stuff.
So,
man.
So what do you got to say about this game, Sarah?
Oh, I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was really good. The director who put it together is also the director of a film called Blueberry. It was called Blueberry, I'm pretty sure, in France, and then it was called Renegade in America. And it's a really amazing sort of like cosmic cowboy film. There's a lot of like mystical, shamanic, cultural references to what I'm pretty sure kind of reads as peyote ceremony.
Peyote ceremony.
Ooh, yeah. That was getting good before she cut out there.
And I loved it. I almost...
What was that? Can you repeat that last part you cut out?
It was so good. I was saying that I was so moved by it that I almost cried, you know, there was a quality about the depth of field with the visuals. You sort of go through this dark tunnel of all these ayahuasca sort of serpents, right? These large anacondas and things. And it has this quality where you feel like you've almost been swallowed by a snake.
Yeah.
You know? It's very immersive. And they out of the darkness. And for me, it was very much like an ayahuasca trip, except for it didn't have the body vibe, right? It didn't have the psychedelic chemical feeling of being, you know, intoxicated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of made me homesick too. It was so good that I got kind of teary-eyed, and I was like, "Oh, I'm having a moment. This makes me miss being," you know. So yeah. I feel like people who are familiar with that would say, "Oh, yeah, that gets pretty close. It has a lot of qualities like that." But for people who aren't experienced, I feel like it's still missing that, you know, chemical euphoric. And of course, sure. It's not all euphoria. There's definitely like weird body vibes that happen with any psychedelic trip.
Right.
But sometimes sure. You get that elation. And I think that some of the intricate beauty that he pulled off in that is going to be kind of historic in terms of psychedelic VR stuff. So,
you know, maybe I should explain.
Golf clap, you know.
Maybe I should explain for anyone watching that might not know what ayahuasca is. So ayahuasca is a drink, and I'm going to attempt some big words here. So stick with me because I'm probably not going to get them right. But ayahuasca contains DMT, right? Dimethyltryptamine, and MAO inhibiting harmala alkaloids. Right? This stuff is brewed from the leaves of the Psychotria viridis plant, boiled together with, oh my god, this is a hard one, Banastapyrosis. I don't even know. It's this vine in Peru. Okay, there we go. Yeah. You got it. So they boil these things together, and only, from what I understand, only one of these plants contains DMT, which is the hallucinogenic. And the other plant contains something that cancels out your body's ability to fight off the DMT.
Yes.
Typically when you're on a DMT trip, it might only last 10 to 15 minutes. But ayahuasca makes it so this lasts for 4 or 5 hours and really drags you down the rabbit hole. And the big thing about this is it allows you, it tears away your ego, which is you. It makes you dissolve. It takes you out of the equation, and it kind of pulls you out of this world completely and puts you... Well, that's the thing, right? This is where it gets controversial and weird, right? People say that they go to other dimensions and they meet other beings, the machine elves for one, right? People see these beings and communicate with them. One of the bummers about ayahuasca is that, from what I hear, is that that you forget what happened pretty quickly.
True of most hallucinogenic experiences. Like when you're under the effect of it, you know, it's very profound and it is your new reality. But, you know, once you come back to this reality, you really only get to keep fragments of it, which is interesting because it also makes it very hard, as if it was even remotely possible to explain to someone what an experience like might be like. And that's why I think this ayahuasca experience, whatever you want to call it, is pretty awesome. Kind of speaking to Sarah's point, where it's like, it's not there, right? Like you don't get the intoxicated effect from the chemical thing that's happening. But if you're getting it close-ish, you might be able to like push people, give them that nudge of comfort that they needed to actually maybe go off of the deep end. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of fear that is surrounded by people, you know, having those experiences and using those kinds of things. And if there's a game out there that's gonna be like, hey, listen, this isn't it, but it can give you an idea of maybe what you could expect, then that might be all someone needs to like take the plunge.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of some of Sarah's artwork, actually. I'm going to just throw a little video up here of one of Sarah's pieces. And I mean, this really looks like it was, you know, had some influence from many different spiritual and possibly, you know, hallucinogenic things. Do you want to talk about?
Yeah. So this is Love Poem to Life and Death.
Yes.
So this piece is, I painted it maybe a couple weeks after Ram Dass passed. And in general, I was kind of coming back to the core values I have as a visionary artist and a psychedelic artist, as well as someone who has adopted VR lately. I want to use VR to really illustrate the unseen, the things that we don't really have access to with our eyes alone, or things that are so subtle that they are difficult to convey. And so this one is just really influenced by a lot of the Eastern philosophical and energy systems that talk about the chakras, as well as like other mind body spirit connections. And so I do a lot of like sort of meditation on mortality. I'm just kind of a weird artist type like that. And so this one, and really just paint something that was about the raw connection of like the individual to the cosmos, you know, just the person as an expression of the universe, because we often think of ourselves as like a thing inside the universe that's happening around us. And I really wanted to just sort of be in the presence of that shift of consciousness where like I am a part of the universe, that is like this co-happening, that my life is a love poem between life and death, you know, that everybody's life is that love poem between life and death. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that like they're made of stardust, and that, you know, they're part of a lineage, and that like when we compose our lives, like week by week and month by month and stuff, that there's a greater interplay of energy that like we don't get to see the scope of how we fit into these bigger patterns. But I wanted to just like draw the one tiny fundamental piece of how our energy like connects to that in a way that like would be, you can hop in that painting into the brush. You walk right up to it. You can, you know, like zoom in and just, that's why I love this medium so much, is you can take something really simple. It's just a little skeleton dude in a, you know, little lotus position with some chakras, and but he's out in space, you know, and it gives it a different like embodiment feeling when you can just be there in the painting and be in the outer space, and it becomes like a mirror, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you pulled that one up. That's one of my favorite ones.
It's super good.
Thank you. Sometimes they're really intricate. They take weeks. Sometimes they just like pour out of me and they're like quicker. This was a sort of a quicker composition, but sometimes like I have really powerful emotional experiences in the VR painting them, you know, because like I get to, it's like my audience or my viewers or whoever is appreciating the work or whatever, they're in the piece. And the piece has been completed, but in a way, it's like my experience gets to erode time in a traditional way, because I'm in there experiencing it as a spatial thing in real time as I'm creating it. It's not like I'm on a 2D screen, like doing ZBrush or whatever, making this thing that lives inside the window. Like I am in the piece in real time, kind of like, you know, Aslan in Narnia singing right. This.
And now it's a destination. Now that little spot in your brain is like everything but tangible. You know, like that is absolutely mind blowing. And the fact that it represents what it does, something, you know, that is as intangible as its own self, you know, like it's super, super, super good. I feel like I can relate a lot to it. You know, my whole life also, I have spent really like dwelling hard on like mortality and, you know, like life and death and time and all of that stuff. And, you know, I really feel like this speaks to all of that stuff, you know, and it's interesting because you can just experience this, whether it's watch a video of it or go into the piece and stand next to this thing. And without any words, it just like can fill you with that. You know, it's almost like there's information there. You know, if an alien species was to come across this and that's the only thing that they had to like gather information about our species, I feel like they would learn something here, you know? Like it's really good.
It does kind of remind me of that Voyager plate, you know, where it's like the basic anatomy and then it's sort of out there in space.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that sense of awe is my end goal with pretty much all my work. Some of it's aesthetic and it's just like, ooh, this looks cool. But the deeper end of the work is very much trying to draw out the subjective awe moment, you know, something that's sort of just like transportive. Mm-hmm. I think that's why this medium was just kind of a no-brainer to, mm-hmm. you know, adopt. Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting because, like, you know, you obviously see this medium as a method of expressing some of these thoughts. But, like, you know, really the reason why Harry and I started this podcast is because through just loving VR and talking about VR, we peeled layers away and end up coming to that place. You know, like, and what I want to know, maybe I want your perspective on, is why do you think that spirituality and all of this, like, psychedelic stuff seemingly has a seat at the table during conversations about virtual reality?
I think because VR is one of the first times that we have a medium that sort of transcends its substrate. So instead of it being like, you know, cave walls or clay tablets or typewritten things or even celluloid or screens, you're in it. And in that way, it's like a subjective experience, right? It's the first time that you can kind of, instead of a facsimile, you can kind of directly show. And that can be in a number of different ways. Like, I feel like the VR industry beyond gaming is very crystalline in its appreciation for how it's a tool for prototyping. And so we can use that for people to prototype their reality, whether it's meditation or, you know, just conditioning their mind or doing other kind of like brain exercise stuff. I think that it's a new kind of mirror. It's a new computational fabric. And it has the potential to, you know, and become the new interface that people do their, like, you know, your virtual office, it's going to become second nature. Mm-hmm. You have your giant screen in there. You don't need a giant screen on your wall. Mm-hmm. You just have it in the headset. So I feel like it's a reflection of our aspirations. And sometimes those aspirations are to process or to create kind of art, but a lot of times they're also explore inner space. And that's kind of the dovetail between all of those. Mm-hmm. It's a mirror explore inner space. And we kind of find, because I mean, you send rockets out to space, that's great. But like when you're bored on Mars and the Martian colony hasn't flourished into some hive city yet, you know, people are going to be sitting with their little VR headsets, like, you know, on
going engineering inward.
Skiing, right? Yeah, it's about inner space. And it's about finding new like brain waves. Or modes of consciousness and means of math, right? And we can sort of shortcut how easy it is for people to understand really complicated formulas that are daunting to transmit to somebody. Like, this formula actually means this creates.
No, we're breaking up pretty bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
VR, it's much easier to transmit that. I can always try to call back too and see if the signal can reset itself. So just let me know if it gets too bad.
Okay.
But yeah, the way that we use new models for traditional sciences, we can also use them to model things that are unseen, like in psychedelic trip. You know, we can show somebody subjectively the difference between acid or DMT. And very similar to Jan's work in the ayahuasca cosmic vision. I've used VR as a means of trying to show people that unseen, subjective, psychedelic experience. So they necessarily have to blast off the tea, or they can kind of understand it, whether it's just like a cultural artifact or they have some kind of curiosity for the psychedelic experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How's the signal doing, guys?
We're hanging on.
Let me know if you want me to pop off and call back. It would be a good time to do that for a second, because I have to use the restroom.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And call you back.
Absolutely, yeah, go for it.
I'll be right back.
All right, sounds good. See ya. All right, we're back here. Just me and you there, bud.
That's okay.
Yeah, but you know, Sarah's super cool, man, and her art is very inspiring. And I'll tell you what, guys, you know, to see it flat on the screen, kind of like we were showing, does it no justice, right? I would really suggest to hop in to Tilt Brush, Google Tilt Brush. It's on Steam, it's on the Oculus Store, it's on the Quest Oculus Store as well, and you can kind of go through some of these people's art projects, and it's just mind-boggling some of the things that these people have made. You know, take up football fields, you know, in size, and you can walk around these things and just really experience them in a whole different way. And it's really, really cool.
The size relativity thing is what blows my mind. Like, there's a football field, but mm-hmm. then if you go to the right blade of grass and zoom in far enough, you'll find a whole fucking world in there. And then you can like keep going inward and infinitely. Like, you can continuously just like blow stuff up and like dive deeper and deeper and deeper into like a creation. Like, that is insane. Like, that blows my mind.
For sure. I've seen some really, really amazing pieces in here. Things that that you just can't see anywhere else. I mean, people do some really, really good stuff. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I really hope you guys are able to get in there and check it out and check out Sarah's work. There's a lot of good VR artists right now that are just absolutely killing it.
Mm-hmm. When I was at OC6, actually, I saw a VR artist perform live, and I wish I could remember the name right now, but like, there was music playing and he was just like out there just like doing it, and they're like having a conversation, doing like a panel while he was drawing, and you could like see it on the screen and everything. And that's it was cool. Super, super cool. It looks like fun, and I think I would do pretty good at it. I should probably try to get in there. I bet you I could.
Honestly,
do something.
I feel like it might have been Sutu Eats Flies. Yeah, was it at that like little art gallery that was down the street?
Oh yeah, it was at what was that place called? What did they call that thing?
Yeah,
it was like some little art gallery.
Yeah, I was over there. I was on a little panel, and that guy was Sutu Eats Flies. What is it? Forget his other name, but yeah, Sutu Eats Flies.
Sutu Eats Flies.
Really cool, very psychedelic. People might enjoy checking his stuff out for sure. Mm-hmm.
That was a really cool thing. That was like a good, that was like a really artsy VR kind of vibe that they had cultivated there. And there was this panel that Lucas Risotto was on. He is the developer behind Where Thoughts Go. And every single time he opened his mouth, I was like, yeah, like, the dude is super, super smart and has a great great perspective. And I asked him to be on the show, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet, but I hope he does, because I think he would be a great guest to have. Super smart guy, and I loved everything that he was talking about.
Fabulous.
Right on. I wish I was more artsy when it came to, you know, with some of this stuff. I'm not very good at this stuff, so, but I hop into Tilt Brush, and man, I really, really enjoy it, and I really like looking at other people's work. It's just really, really good stuff. I mean, the way, just how you can express yourself in this giant, massive space is unlike anything else. It's unlike just painting something flat, or just, you know, creating something, you know, a drawing or something. It's just so amazing. And some of your work, mm-hmm. Sarah, you can check out some of Sarah's work, not in VR, right? And on Poly, I think you have a Poly account, a Google Poly.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have it's links to all this stuff in the description.
Yeah.
And you can hop in there and check out a bunch of Sarah's work.
Yeah, my Poly Google is sort of overflowing. I feel like I have more than I know how to manage. Got to go through there and see what's going on. But it's such an exciting medium because you can create models that you have on the cloud there, and you can pull it up on your phone and show it to basically anybody from there, mm-hmm. and they can see it on their own smartphones. But you can also make video directly in TiltBrush and then take those videos and treat it like your own cinematic studio in there. And so you can make it any number of kinds of media, which is really exciting. You can make sort of motion graphics in it, and it opens up that medium, not just VR, but motion graphics and creating dynamic little micro art films for people. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's like brand representation or music videos for artists or prototyping for, you know, what prototyping fashion, architecture, all kinds of stuff. So I think that the more people realize that it's not just about drawing or sculpting, that mm-hmm. it's this really cool fusion of this like volumetric illustration. That people are going to, they're already fleshing out their different styles in TiltBrush, which is amazing. And that's just one VR art program. There's a number of incredible ones.
I've even had my mind blown in Rec Room. Like the shit that people do in Rec Room is mind blowing. Like amazing, huge buildings and stuff. It's like, holy shit.
Minecraft. There's a lot of places where people get really, really, people are just amazing.
Didn't somebody recently create the whole world in Minecraft?
They did. Yeah. They're attempting. So they built this. They came up with this mod that allows Minecraft to be the size of the planet. And they have this Discord going where people are getting together and building the cities, like all the major cities. And it's really, really cool, man. They're completely just redoing the planet in Minecraft.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
really and then cool. There's that Forbidden Knowledge library that houses all of the texts that have ever been banned or forbidden in any country in Minecraft. So if you go to play Minecraft, doesn't matter where you exist, you can go in there and read banned or forbidden texts.
Wow, that's pretty neat, man. And I don't know if anyone's ever been in Minecraft in VR, but it's pretty neat. It's a good time. Way better than Flat,
I think. I can't bring myself to get in there.
No?
No, I don't know why. I just never really have that much fun. Although I've never done it in VR, so yeah. That might change.
It's a little
things.
Different in VR, you know. I mean, it's way more immersive. You know, mm-hmm. You kind of feel like a cube head.
Sarah, one of your posts on Facebook that I saw that I found really, really cool was it's basically you showed an image and you did a video with these like fire sticks, these like juggling fire sticks. You know how there's like performers that like throw fire sticks around? Well, they're fire sticks, but they had HTC Vive trackers in them, and they were like made for use within VR. Is that true?
Yeah, I believe they're still in development, and I've been just waiting with bated breath for a couple of years now for them to release their prototypes. But they appear to be for juggling. Mm-hmm. So I believe they're also going to be adapting them for other props as well. So there'll be things like poi or double saps, things like that.
Oh, it's like at the void. It's like the torch at the void where they like hand the stuff out to you, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But so I saw some prototypes that she shared that looked like it was for like juggling, like fire juggling and stuff like that. And I find that so interesting because that is like, fire juggling and juggling in general and all kinds of that kind of performance stuff, it really just all boils down to expression. You know, like you do it before the expression because it feels good to throw those things around and catch them and be flashy with it, you know? And it's just awesome that VR is providing another opportunity for people to take, you know, what was before, there was only one way to find that form of expression, you know, but now you have VR and you can have virtual versions of these things and add all kinds of weird effects to them and stuff. And it's not a game or anything. It's just the same old expression that you had before, but now it's just a new way to do it, mm-hmm. you know, and I find that fascinating.
Absolutely. Sarah, where do you get a lot of your inspiration for the things that you do in Tilt Brush? I know they look pretty trippy, and just kind of curious how you roll.
My inspirations kind of come from all over the place. It really just depends. So some of my pieces are really inspired by simple things like favorite movies of mine, just as a way for that to be accessible to new fans, to be quite honest.
Well, we're kind of breaking up on the audio there. Can we hear her? Nope. I think she's a little bit frozen.
I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, you're there?
She's here.
Thank you, guys. So I'm going to just pick up where I kind of left off before.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of my inspirations that tend to be the initial things people find me by are things inspired by movies, just old classics and things that I like. Whether it's Blade Runner or Terminator, things like, classic 80s movies from the era that I grew up. But some of the work that I feel that's a little bit more personal or trippy comes from psychedelic visions or dreams oftentimes. I have a love of mythology. And so one of my pieces is Persephone from Alphonse Mucha. And it's spring, so it's, the beautiful Greek goddess of spring. And, so just surrealism, mythology, cinema, science fiction is where I tend to have a lot of inspiration drawn from. Let me just adjust this screen thing for a second. There we go.
Your video isn't coming through anyway, just your audio. It's the bandwidth issue, but we can hear you fine though.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about Dreamseed. What's going on with Dreamseed VR?
Dreamseed is a project that I launched at the beginning of the year, and it's an online web magazine as well as my YouTube channel that I've been using as a sort of bridge between traditional media forms and VR. But in particular, the intersecting overlap is between psychedelic visionary art culture and virtual reality. There's a lot of historical precedent for the intersection between VR and psychedelics. It was something that Tim Leary talked a lot about at the end of his life and his career. And in a way, I feel like I have been compelled to pick up the torch that him and Terrence McKenna really brought a lot of attention to in their later careers, because they saw the VR thing about to happen. Mm-hmm. And they saw those intrinsic overlaps with visionary subjective experience and just going into the psyche and that kind of exploration. So, now that the moment is happening, I realized that nobody was really there to just sort of like walk us through it or explore those ideas and create community around it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I couldn't be the only one who saw that overlap. So I created this magazine as a way to highlight different artists and video games and apps, as well as, researchers and technological developments, and just kind of give us a cultural platform to be responsible about how we integrate VR. Because ultimately, as much as I love cyberpunk and sci-fi, I don't really want a cyberpunk future for us all. I'd rather us have sustainable, awesome solarpunk future.
Solarpunk.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting to it's kind of like a little psychedelic virtual reality university that teaches you that we write our own reality, and so we've got to write our own future that is more aware and integrated with our use of VR instead of escapism that we prototype reality with it.
What does the future of virtual reality look like, if you had to guess? Where's it going? Like, what's like the next big form of it? How's it going to work?
That's a really good question. So I think that there's always going to be a sort of duality between stuff that's fully immersive and stuff that is augmented reality. I think that we're going to see both of them as two halves of the same medium. Because right now, a lot of people think of them as separate. But I think it's really just going to be like about a veil permeability. And there'll, you know, I think that the culture will grow around it. And that there will be a couple leaps. But I think that we've just seen the first leap. And it's really going to come down to figuring out good storytelling mechanics. That's why I tend to focus on exploring that in movies and cinema and stuff in general. Because the better we get the storytelling mechanics, the more natural and invisible they become.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more natural adoption you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like all the basic, I don't think it's going to be any like tech revolution with it. Like it'll get smaller, more lightweight, more accessible and better battery, all that cool stuff. Once we get over this hiccup with production and, you know,
right.
And other parts of the world. But I think that once we get some good studios going and some breakout hits that just really tap into a group psychology, the Maynard game is pretty cool. It did a good job getting quite a few people excited around Christmas time. But yeah, I think it's
Have you seen Black Mirror?
I've seen quite a bit of it. I've probably seen like too much. I had to stop because it was sort of damaging.
Well, I always bring up Black Mirror because of the way that they kind of show the future of VR technology, where it's like that little like button that they put on their temple. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You just like put it up there, hit it, and then you're like 3, 2, 1, and you're like out, and like now you are fully immersed in the world. You know, and I don't know how that would work. I imagine like a manipulation of like brain function, you know, like it like just changes the synapses or whatever, you know, but like, do you think that we could see something like that in our lives where it's like you just are like almost like Matrix, like you're passed out and you're just like in a dream state or a virtual dream state?
Yeah, there's any number of ways that a more immersive state can be done. A lot of people were thinking that Elon Musk's Neuralink was going to be a thing. But to be honest, that's so invasive. And there's a lot of technology that's been coming out, prototypes just in the past month or two, where the ability to monitor neurons in the brain from the outside of the skull. And when the eyes look at a specific object, and the computer knows when the brain is looking at that specific object. So we have a way to be like, oh, she's focusing on this, focusing on that. And any number of other subtle brain signals could be the like yes or no trigger for a button. So basically now you have an interface button that, you know, a person could pilot their way through a computer interface one command at a time without ever having to drill a hole in their head. And there's already contacts that do rudimentary AR, even glasses like these. If I had AR in my glasses and it was subtle, people would wear them. The only reason why they don't is because they look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they're sleek enough to be nondescript and just really casual, people can be reading their email during an office meeting and not even have to look, you know, look at the tablet. They just do it through their glasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I find that brain interfacing stuff so fucking interesting because like if it comes down to like yes or no being like a thought, then eventually the AI is going to run with that and it's going to write full programs the second I want it to exist. I'm going to be like, man, I wish I could throw a fireball right now. And it'll be like, and like, make it happen like instantly, you know, just by like taking the information from the brain, writing it, you know, like procedurally generating data. It's like super fucking crazy to think about actually experiencing something like that.
That'll definitely become a thing in VR. And I've thought about that a lot. Like as I'm painting stuff in Tilt Brush, I think, wow, when it gets to the point where I can just think the procedural thought that I typically have to draw. Excuse me.
Blessings.
Thank you. you know, I'll be able to draw and sculpt without even using my hands or the controllers at some point.
It'll just be thinking about it. You just like picture a figure in your head and it just manifests in front of you.
Right.
Danny Hunkley in the chat asks, do you think VR art and the space will change or revolutionize physical art that we will see? Like, would it change the way we view or interact with traditional media?
I think that it'll change how we potentially produce it, the same way that 3D printing has changed how we make sculptural objects and stuff in the art field and medical field and other, and lots of other industries, right? VR isn't just about entertainment, so it's it'll impact how buildings are made. It'll impact how people make art and use materials and think of new uses for materials because they'll be able to prototype it.
I feel like AR is really where that's going to shine, right? Like, because you can, with AR, you can go to a wall somewhere and like paint the wall, and then people with the AR glasses can like flip through all the different walls and like pick one like a fucking computer background, you know?
Like, you go to a plot of land and build the little house and then be like, oh, where do I want my window? And you can be there and be like, oh, the sun comes in from this angle.
Nice. You can have a whole augmented reality version of your house on a plot of land before you ever build there. And then the builders can just like remove layers and like build it like brick by brick following the template.
A friend of mine was using an app the other day and they had made a model of their house and just every little nook and cranny so they could sort of make little improvements and stuff, but it was just a regular app. But I think that it's like a permeability of utility with our different programs and mediums, you know, because that's something, there's also like a bleed back, like as our technologies become more, you know, cool and sophisticated and people get access to things like VR and AR, the objects that are the predecessors to that, the smartphones and the laptops, they start to be able to use software that's kind of piggybacking off of the new sophistication for the new hardware. And so you have these kinds of apps that just run on your smartphone, but it wouldn't have been running on a smartphone 3 or 4 years ago with that kind of, you know, power or speed. And so it's a whole sphere. It's like a technosphere of these things. That's why I say that I think that the boundary between AR and VR is going to melt. Because a lot of people are like on one camp or the other. But I already see the way I use VR impacting the way I interact with traditional arts. So I would say yes, I think it's going to have a huge revolution how people make costumes and clothing and sculptures. And
oh, yeah. Oh, and I think about like learning skills, you know, like somebody who never painted in their lives could buy a tilt brush and get in there and get super, super good and then go and pick up a canvas and a paintbrush and be way further along than they ever would have been had they never used tilt brush before. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of ways to learn skills and forms of expression using virtual reality that would translate into the physical realm. As a martial artist, one of the things that I think about is how you could learn kung fu using virtual reality. You can literally mocap the fucking master's moves and like it can track you and it can be like, nope, pull your hand up. Nope, pull your hand down right there. You know, like it'll know exactly where you need to be. So I don't think we're very far away from that being a total reality where, I mean, and we see it often like today in like the medical field, surgeons learn how to perform operations in VR and then go and do it on people, you know, like that's fucking amazing.
Remarkably better. That's something that I looked into.
Staggering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's subjective experience. They're actually walking through it themselves instead of having to have their brain go through the mental gymnastics of mirror neurons and putting themselves in the surgeon's shoes. And the surgeon's already got all this know-how and they know what they're doing. And so they can't explain the nuance. But when the person's in the pilot seat, so to say, like they can see that nuance firsthand.
Oh, and here's why what you're doing is good, because where surgeons and doctors go to learn how to operate when they're in a VR space, when someone goes and immerses themselves in a place like the life poem, the poem between life and death, where it's like all the chakras are glowing in front of them and they see like the human shape and all of the energy, like they're connecting with that, you know, and they're not leaving unchanged from that experience. So as more and more of these experiences become available, we're literally going to be like injecting that intention into people, whether or not they want it. Like they play the experience, it's too late. You've got the information now, you know, like you're being affected by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that psychology is definitely the linchpin of like what makes that kind of work effective or not, whether or not it really taps into the person creating that resonance, that mirroring feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely the core of the dynamic that I'm going for with that kind of mystical work. So I want it to activate people. I really just want the work to kind of have a life of its own, and if it helps a person feel more present in their own life, or just grounded, or just gives them a little reprieve, or just a little moment of beauty or awe to help recharge them for the next moment, next chapter, and kind of power them up, you know. Like one of the main reasons why I was drawn into performance art and fire dancing was in particular the mirror neuron effect, where I saw my friend doing it and I was so inspired. It just looked so beautiful and fun to express. Like we were talking about just the action of it, not even that somebody's witnessing you, but just the dance in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And just really feeling that imbued when I watched my friend dance, and wanting to experience that myself. And then as soon as I did, I saw the power in that, like, and how it was empowering. And I was like, oh, I got to pass that forward. That's the thing. So various mediums, they're all an invitation for people to just sort of explore outside the edge of what they thought they could do. Cause it's even more than what they thought they could do.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And VR is just cool. You know, it was cool before it was doing all of that stuff. So this is all just like, amazing that this is a platform that's starting to transcend this kind of shit. Like, this was not a conversation that people were talking about when they were playing Mario and Pac-Man. You know, they weren't talking about how they were transcending realities and shit. But now,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like when you go into the empty space of VR in Tilt Brush or any of these other programs, I personally love the black backdrop because it does give me this sensation of being in space, being in my imagination. And I gotta say, like, it's deeply spiritual. I want to give that to other people. I'm kind of evangelical about it. I'm like, no, seriously, like you will discover something about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Being
in that deep black abyss of endless consciousness and space, and thinking to yourself, like, I can paint anything. I can dream, like you dream the dream in there, and then you learn at some point after spending hours drawing and manifesting these different things that you dream the dream in your reality, that you come out and like the way you interact with people, the way you choose to invest your time, you create reality. We're all creating this reality together, and it doesn't become any more obvious or apparent when all the rest of the noise is stripped away in there and it's just you and yourself. In your imagination. Right.
So, I mean, and that at its core is what meditation is. Like, a lot of people like think that meditation is this whole thing and you're like, oh, I'm going to go meditate on that for a while. Like, you don't really meditate on something. It's about clearing. It's about removing all of the space. And VR has a way of, it's almost like a mini sensory deprivation tank where like your eyes get covered, your ears get covered, nothing else exists. And now, boom, it like creates the space. It like clears all the shit and like gives you a nice spot to sit down and fucking meditate. And again, you're being affected by it regardless of whether or not you ask for it. You put that on, it's dark, it's cold, you start thinking and your thoughts are bam, right there on the surface. Like you can hear yourself talking to you and like you're so much more present than you were moments before putting the headset on. So I feel like people are accidentally meditating, especially when they're doing shit like Beat Saber. You know, it's like that's pure present moment awareness. You're just connected, watching the dots and just totally present.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of use use video games to meditate. So you can meditate without completely clearing your brain, right? You can meditate on something by making that the one and only thing that's in your brain and concentrating all your energy towards that. Right. And then everything else melts away and you have 100% of your energy focusing towards where you want it to go. And that's, you know, that's really powerful in VR. There's a lot of meditation apps. There's a lot of things to really help you train your brain. And it's great. It's a great medium for all this stuff. And I'm really, really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really good.
So last week we gave away some stuff like we always do. And the winner of our contest is Gina E. And Gina grabbed Moss for on Steam. Fantastic game. Good stuff. Thank you, Gina, for being part of our community. Definitely good stuff there. And there's another giveaway in the description. We have a code in there for the ayahuasca experience. If you feel like you want to trip out without actually ingesting any narcotics, might be a good way to experience ayahuasca. So really good stuff. The devs are great. It's a very, very great experience. The only thing I'll say about it is if you have any fear of spiders or snakes or anything, you know, some of the insects, it gets a little, you know, because you're in the jungles of Peru.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
Trigger warning. Okay.
Yes.
It's a dark experience in a visual way, in the sense that like it is dimly lit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's, you know, pretty darn immersive, and there's skulls and spiders and snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no jump scares. There is no like attacks. They're slow moving. They're very beautiful, but they are a little spooky. So if you are phobic irrationally, it's probably not for you. But if mm-hmm. you want to like face a couple like spooky motifs, it would be a great idea.
Absolutely.
How
yeah.
long
yeah.
is it? Like in, it's like an hour or something?
No, I
think, no, it's no. like 16 minutes or
yeah.
something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you start sitting there in the jungle of Peru in front of a shaman. It's really cool, man. And that's kind of where all these snakes and spiders come from, right? Is because you're sitting in the jungle in Peru with this dude. You know, that you're not in a building.
You're
you know,
going through a vision. Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Very abstract, gorgeous. But
I need to play it.
I should show it to my brother. He loves spiders. I say that. It's cool.
It is. It's a beautiful game, and you guys should definitely grab that code and check it out.
Do it.
Yep. Yeah. Or you can check it out in Viveport as well. It's in the Infinity. Yep, it's in the Infinity package. And I think you guys need to definitely go into the details or the description of the show and check out some of Sarah's stuff, because we only touched on just a little bit of it, and she has some mind-blowing stuff.
She's got
you're really good, Sarah.
Stuff, you
you're really good I with really... wings, actually, and I noticed that you've done a lot of really, you know, enchanting wings that are just really, really crazy cool to look at. So definitely,
yeah, that was a fun series a couple weeks ago. And if people want to check out my little shop on Teespring, it's the shop is Dreamseed. Cool. Several of the shirt designs are connected to those wing sets that you can check out on Call. There's a bunch of different wings. But some of the t-shirt designs are AR reactive with AR eyes.
Oh, that's dope.
Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
Hold your phone up and like wear a pair of cool wings in a couple different styles. And I'll be adding more over the next few weeks. But yeah, I have like projects and art coming out of my ears. So you can check my stuff out on YouTube with the Dreamseed VR, as well as dreamseedvr.com. And my website, let's see, it's at strikingly.com. I'll send it your guys' way.
Sure, yeah, we'll throw it in the description for everyone.
But just like so much art all the time. Please look at it for me.
Come look at the art. I mean, it is awesome. And it comes
I appreciate
with...
it.
with the proper intention, which is really what I appreciate. I really love the intention behind the artwork, and I am 100% Team Seraphine. I think you're great, and I think you should continue to do what you're doing, because not everyone is, you know, connecting VR with that realm, and someone needs to. So thanks for making that happen for us.
Thank you. Yeah, we're building a community, so like, feel free to like stop by, check it out, strike up a conversation. We have a Dream Seed group on Facebook too.
Nice.
Cool.
We have a new, we'll have a new giveaway in our description here also, so definitely enter that. I think what we'll do is I have a couple of Hooplord codes here that I didn't give away in chat, so maybe we'll just like include Hooplord with the winner, or maybe we'll draw two winners and give a couple of codes. That's and just cool. like get an additional free code. So we'll toss those in. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you leave a comment and if you're watching this after it has been live. And subscribe to our channel here. Subscribe to Alex VR. Subscribe to Skiva. Subscribe to Seraphine. And subscribe to everyone else who's creating content in the VR space, because it's still in its infancy. A lot of people need all the love that they can get. And this is just an awesome community to be a part of. You know, I love dropping into other YouTube channels while they're live, joining the chat, saying hi to everybody. There's so many names that I recognize now, and I haven't even been doing this for that long. So it's still a really intimate spot. And I would highly recommend that if you're not active in any of this stuff, become active. You know, sign into your fucking YouTube account. It's not hard. It's a Google email address. Okay. Sign in, like videos, leave comments and subscribe. It goes a long way.
It really does. Really does. It'll help us out a lot, and definitely go check out Sarah's stuff.
So I guess that'll probably do it for episode 10.
Yes.
Next week, we have joining with us Mateo 311.
Yes.
That is what his name is. 311?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Mateo 311. He is a YouTube content creator for virtual reality who is up and coming. He's gaining subscribers a lot right now. He is homies with Steve Knows, who we've had on the show earlier in this season one of Between Realities. And I'm excited to get to know him a little bit better, because if he and Steve are homies, Steve's my homie, so I guess he must be a homie by association, right?
He's a good guy, man. Everything I've seen has been absolutely great. He's a family dude, and yeah, he's a good man. So hopefully we will have a lot of fun next week. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Sarah, for being here. Really appreciate
it. Guys,
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah,
so this was super awesome. Stay in touch with us, keep us in the loop, and we'll do the same, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you again.
Yeah, me too. Take care, you guys.
All right.
Goodbye, Sarah.
See you, Sarah.
Goodbye, Skiva. Thank you so much. Goodbye, everyone. Have a wonderful evening. Happy Easter, I guess.
Yes, happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody. Yes. And we will see you next week with Mateo 311. Take care.
Adios.